good evening, Bhante. Okay. Today have a still have even though the last session we have Brother Billy Tan give us a very good presentation about his slide about Samma Ditti and a little bit about Samma Sankappa. And Bhante also on that day, last Tuesday also Bhante mentioned something about Samma Sankappa. I also have some question about that. Conscious mind and unconscious mind. These two. Then there's something called about subconscious mind. What are the difference between these two? Conscious mind, unconscious mind, subconscious mind. Is there any difference or how? Because this one
These are words that people have been using these words were used even before Sigmund Freud, who used three words, conscious, preconscious and unconscious. Conscious, preconscious and unconscious. The word subconscious was used by someone else. It was not a word used by Sigmund Freud. So people have been using these words and they meant different things, you see, and it is not correct to use those words when we speak about Buddhism. Mm. The Buddha never spoke about conscious mind or unconscious mind. But some people who write about Buddhism try to use those words, and that is a little misleading. But we have been trying to use the word unconscious, and now I begin to find there are problems coming up when I use that word. So now I have changed to a new word that we'll come to later. But when we want to talk about the mind, the Buddha used three words, that is vijnana, mano and chitta. Vijnana, mano and chitta. Vijnana, first thing is to understand that the mind, what we call the mind, is not an entity separate from the body. When we speak of the body, we are referring to that an entity. When we talk about the body, we are speaking about an entity. We have to distinguish between these two words, entity and activity. Activity is like, say, when I show the hand, that is an entity. Entity is something that occupies space and time. That's the important thing to understand. When we speak about an entity occupying space, means it has a length, breadth and height. That means it occupies a certain volume. It has, so length, breadth and height refers to the volume, the amount of space that it occupies. So when we speak of an activity, we can speak of the activity. There also we can say that activity will occupy a certain amount of space. Now if I shake my hand, that is an activity, and that activity also occupies a certain space. And then an activity also lasts for a certain period of time. That way we can speak of the activity occupying space and time, but it has a start and a stop. So the activity starts at a certain point and stops at a certain point. And the activity is not really existing, but we may talk about the activity lasting for a certain period. So the activity can last for a certain period, and but it is not existing. So when we speak about existence, that is what we may call a static concept. Existence is a static concept, whereas an activity is a dynamic process. An activity is a dynamic process, so that when we talk about matter and energy, when we speak of matter, we are speaking about an entity. When we talk about energy, we are talking about an activity. So we have to, when we talk about the mind, we are talking about an activity. When we talk about the body, we are talking about an entity. So it's important to be able to distinguish between these two things, an activity and an entity. So, when we talk about the mind, what we call the vijnana, vijnana is an activity, which is the activity of the five senses. We have five senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue and the body. And these five senses become activated due to stimulation by the environment. The environment and light falls on the eye, stimulates the eye. And the eye reacts to the stimulus, and that reaction is what is called seeing, which is perception, eye perception. When sounds come to the ears, the ear is stimulated and the ear reacts to the stimulus, and then we hear the sound. So this hearing the sound or seeing or smelling, tasting, touching, all this is what is called vijnana, eye perception, ear perception. So vijnana is perception. But today the word vijnana is translated as consciousness, which I say is not correct. Consciousness is a more complicated thing than perception. Perception is just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. But whatever is perceived is carried to the brain, and the brain begins to think, and the thinking gives meaning to what was seen, heard, smelt, tasted, or touched. So that activity of the brain, which we call thinking, is what is called mano. So the word mano refers to the activity called thinking. And that thinking gives meaning to what was perceived through the eye, ear, nose, smell, and so on. That is the second activity that the Buddha refers to, mano. And that produces mano vijnana. Now that word vijnana is being used for perception and also for this activity that we call mind as the mano vijnana, the mano. But that mano vijnana is not perception, that is what is called conception. Conception is a result of thinking. Perception is not the result of thinking. Just being aware that says something. So in conception, conception also develops into what is called consciousness. So consciousness is a result of thinking and becoming aware, but in this consciousness there are two kinds of consciousness. One is to become conscious of the external world. That is, we can call world consciousness or objective consciousness. Objective consciousness. And the other is what is called subjective consciousness. And it is the subjective consciousness that produces the idea self, myself. So myself is not something objective, but something subjective. So that is, now in addition to this thinking and forming ideas, there is another thing that happens. Once we have seen an object, you react to what you see emotionally. It is an emotional reaction when you see something pleasant. The reaction can come in the form of a desire for what is pleasant. If it is unpleasant, the reaction can come in the form of a hatred of what is unpleasant. Or the reaction can come in the form of a fear. Or it can come in the form of a worry. They are all emotions. So that emotion is what is called chitta. That emotional reaction part is the chitta. But when we talk about the emotion, it is also important to understand that we see the emotion as a mood. We speak of a mood. That means this mood can be in a calm state, or it can be in a disturbed state. A calm state is like a cup of water. If we put water into this cup, the water can be still or now the water can remain still, or it can be shaken. So in the same way, the mood can be still, or it can be shaken. So that mood is also called temper or temperament. So, whether you call it temper or whether you call it temperament, it is the same thing. So, that temperament can be still or it can be in motion. So, when we speak of chitta, we are really referring to that temperament. So, the chitta can be still or it can be in motion. So when we use the word emotion, we are referring to a motion. That's why it's called emotion. Emotion is a motion. So it's in the moving state. It's when we speak of emotion, it is not in a still calm state. Emotion is always in the moving state. So better to call it a temperament rather than just emotion. So the temperament can be still or in motion. So there is, then when we talk about the mind, we can speak about the mind in two ways. One is the thinking mind, and the other is the emotional mind. And normal people who speak in English, they have two words that they use. The thinking part, they call the head. And the emotional part, they call the heart. So the head and the heart, but we have to understand that we are not really referring to the physical head or the physical heart. These are only two words that we use to refer to the thinking mind and the emotional mind. So it's important to understand that. But when we talk about conscious and unconscious, we have to understand that emotion is mainly happening unconsciously. When we get angry, we are not saying, now I must become angry and then become angry. It is happening unconsciously. We don't even know why we became angry, or maybe once you have become angry, you will know that you are angry. That's all. Sometimes you may be angry and you don't even know that you are angry. You see, so even the thinking can go on unconsciously. We most of the time our thinking is also going on unconsciously. It is only when we want to consciously solve a problem that we are doing it consciously. Otherwise, most of the time we are just thinking unconsciously. So that conscious, unconscious is a thing like that. But we can't speak of a particular thing called consciousness. Consciousness is not a thing. That means it is not an entity. It is an activity. To be conscious is an activity. How Sigmund Freud used the analogy of the iceberg to speak about the conscious and the unconscious. Just as the tip of the iceberg is above the water and the rest of the piece of ice is under the water. So in a similar way, the conscious part is just a little, and most of what we do is done unconsciously. That is, although it was compared to the iceberg, which is an entity, iceberg is an entity, not an activity. But even when Sigmund Freud spoke of the conscious and the unconscious, he was really referring to an activity rather than an entity. So that is also important to understand. So, I hope I have answered that question, no?
More than that.
No, but it's subconscious.
Huh?
Subconscious.
What do you say?
And you also mentioned about subconscious mind.
What is subconscious?
Yeah, there is no such thing as... that's why I said...
No, I know in Buddhism...
It's not an entity, yeah. What's that? You mean you're asking Freudian?
She's just making trouble.
Huh?
Unconscious.
No. What Freud called, you see, he used three words, no? The conscious, the preconscious, and the unconscious. Now, conscious means what you are aware of. The preconscious is talking about memories that you can recall. When you think about something and you can recall, that is somewhere in the preconscious. That is also an activity. But some things you have forgotten and you can't even recall. That is the unconscious. That is what he called the unconscious. Something that you have forgotten and you can't even recall. That is the meaning of unconscious for Freud. Now the word subconscious is being used mainly by people who talk about hypnosis. When they talk about hypnosis, they talk about the subconscious. So that is another aspect of the mind they talk about. There is a part of the mind which is unconscious. And when you are in the hypnotic state, you can come out of or recall the subconscious part. So these are some of the things that people talk about. So, but when we talk about Buddhism, we should not get into that way of thinking. That's a different way of thinking.
Okay.
Yeah?
Microphone, please, we are recording. If you're shouting, we can't record the sound.
Bhante, what about relinking consciousness?
Huh?
Relinking consciousness in the Paticchasamupada, they explain in three lives, the vijnana is translated as the so-called relinking consciousness.
You are coming out with another thing. Okay. Well, the important thing to understand is that if you have learnt about the Paticchasamuppada from some teachers who talk about the Paticchasamuppada, and maybe in books that you read, the Paticchasamuppada is explained in terms of three lives, the past, present and future, three lives, where avijja, paccha, sankhara, the avijja and sankhara in one life, then comes vijnana. The vijnana comes as the second life. So there is a gap between this life and the other life, and that gap they talk about the relinking consciousness. That is the thing that you are talking about. Now, this is another idea invented by some of the later scholars who began to explain Paticchasamuppada. Which, of course, they have created new ideas when doing that. So one of these is the relinking consciousness. Because they created a term called Patisandhi Vijnana. That is the relinking consciousness. So the word Patisandhi Vijnana is translated as relinking consciousness. So that sandhi is the link, that is the link between this life here and this life here. There must be something to link them together. So they had to create this idea of relinking consciousness. So they created that idea. But I don't think there is something like that. Because if you read in the Majjhima Nikaya, the sutra called the Mahatanna Sankhaya Sutra, Mahatanna Sankhaya Sutra, during the time of the Buddha, there was a monk called Sati, and he came up with this idea that vijnana as something like consciousness or mind that continues after death, something that continues after death. And the Buddha called him and pointed out that there is no such thing. So that there is nothing that continues after death, and there are only activities, there are no entities. To think of something that goes from this life to the next life, you are talking about an entity that goes from here to the other. Now, in the modern world, we have these action at a distance. The action at a distance really means that even the sound going from here to your ears, when I speak, it goes to your ears. So that is also an action at a distance. Or maybe today we press a button here and something happens there. So that is also something that goes from here to the other, but it is not an entity going from here to the other. It is simply an activity here starts an activity there. So, in a similar way, everything that happens is going as an activity. That means it is not an entity passing from one place to another. It is an activity. An activity simply means a series of activities. One activity starting another activity, and that activity starting another activity. It is a thing like that. So the Paticca Samuppada is also a series of activities. One activity producing the other activity. So, that is why we call it a series of antecedents. Antecedent is an incident that happens due to some other incident. One incident leads to another incident. It's like if you have a row of marbles, you tap the first marble, the first marble will tap the second marble, and the second marble will tap the third marble, and so on, the activity goes. But the marble is not going anywhere. That is how a wave occurs, even in the water. A movement in the water at this end will produce another movement in the next level, and that is how a wave goes in the form of waves. So many activities go on, even radio, television, all these things are electromagnetic waves, which are activities going on, one place to another. It is not an entity passing. It's simply an activity passing. It's not something that goes. So we don't have to understand that Patisandhi Vijnana.
Bande, can you explain the difference between awareness and consciousness? What's the difference between?
Now I can't hear that. We'll see whether this will.
This is for this type of thing. This is better.
Yeah.
Okay, Bante, can you explain the difference between the awareness and consciousness? What's the difference between these two?
The difference between... I can hear very well. This is better than...
For a classroom, this is better.
Yeah?
For outside, you need what you're wearing.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
For classroom, use this one.
Yeah. So... Say it again.
Okay, Bante, can you explain the difference between awareness and consciousness? What's the difference between these two?
Awareness and consciousness, yeah. Well, awareness simply means that if you can see something, that means you are aware that it is there. Now I can see this glass here, so I am aware of that. To be aware is to know that it is there. So, the awareness can come through the eyes, or it can come through the ears, or it can come through the nose, so the tongue as well as the physical touch. So to be aware is to simply say that you know that it is there. That awareness. But when you say consciousness, it is something a little slightly more than just being aware. There is something very... These things are similar, but to be conscious. Now, for example, now there may be, beyond this door, we say there is some person there, outside the door. And that person speaks to me from outside the door. So I am aware that such and such a person is there. But can I say I am conscious of that person? So consciousness is something more direct. You see, and there is a slight difference between being aware and being conscious.
One last question, Pandit. Now, just now you mentioned there's no such thing as a relinking consciousness. Just now you mentioned there's no such thing as called relinking consciousness. But in recently, there are many cases that the scientists, they are studying, those people who have taken reborn or what, they can recall back their past life.
Recalling your past life.
Yes. If let's say there's no such thing as a relinking consciousness, how come they're able to recall back their past life? There are many cases happening in this world.
This has to do with memory. You see, if you can remember something that happened yesterday, you are able to remember something that happened yesterday. Now, that does it mean that you are able to see something that is happening yesterday? You are not seeing anything, because yesterday has finished, gone, is not in existence. So what is really happening is, you are connecting some past memory. It's just not a thing that is existing. Memory is not a thing that is existing. You are only connecting ideas, one idea from another idea. It's a memory works not through touching or seeing or any of those ways. Memory works by what is called association of ideas. One idea is associated with another idea. Now when I say this table, when I think of this table, I may be thinking of this hall which is called the wisdom room. And when I think of the wisdom room, that is connected with the temple. Then when I think of the temple, that is connected with Brickfield. Maybe Brickfield is connected with Malaysia. So it's like that. It's a relationship between ideas, not relationship between existing objects. That's how we have to understand memory works like that.
Okay.
Now I have found. I have a question. Now how about mindful?
Mindfulness?
Yes. Not mindfulness, but mindful. Someone say, okay, just now they say aware, conscious, then come another one say, be mindful. So how?
No, mindful simply means you are remembering. You are remembering. That is the meaning of mindful. Remember, you say, uh, When you are going, you carry a watch. Remember to look at the watch, you can say. So you are being mindful to remember the watch. So it's a matter of remembering.
But how about that doing meditation, they say be mindful. How about doing meditation? You have to be mindful and be aware.
So meditation is, whenever you use the word mindfulness, it is remembering something, to do something, yeah. So this is why I say that the real meditation is not a matter of mindfulness, but introspection.
Introspection.
Yeah.
Introspection.
The real satipatthana is not mindfulness, but looking within, introspection. Introspection, and you can speak of extrospection. Now, what in the meditation, what we really have to do is not to be focusing on external things, but to withdraw your attention from external things and look within and look at what is going on inside. That is the meaning of real satipatthana. Sati upatthana. Sati is attention. Upatthana means to place attention within. It's very important to understand the distinction.
Any other question?
What's that?
Still have, because whenever this book whenever mentions something about two sutra. Dvi Takka Sutta and another one Vitakka Santana
Sutta. What sutra?
Dvi Dvavi Takka Sutta.
Two kinds of thoughts. Dvi Dvavi Vitakka Sutra.
And then the another one Vitakka Santana Sutta.
Vitakka Santana Sutra. Yeah.
It's too related to these thoughts. So can Bhante...
No, Dvi Dvavi Vitakka Sutra means... a sutra about two vitakkas. Dve means two. Dveda vitakka means distinguishing between two thoughts. That's the meaning. That is what I call selective thinking. You select the thoughts you think. That means there are good thoughts and bad thoughts. You distinguish between a good thought and a bad thought, and you avoid the bad thought, and you think only good thoughts. That is what the Dveda Vitakka Sutra is talking about. So the Vitakka is the thought. Vitakka is a thought. And Vitakka Santana means how to get rid of thoughts. Santana there means to push away. to get rid of. Santana. It is like, say, there is a doorkeeper kept at the door, so only some people are allowed to come in, some people are not allowed to come in. The doorkeeper, that is like vitakka santana. The thoughts, certain thoughts are allowed to come in, certain thoughts are not allowed to come in. That is the meaning of santana. Vitakka santana. So those are two sutras that we have translated in the first book, book one. Huh? There are some other sutras we have to translate. And very important sutras in the Majjhima Nikaya, and especially when we think of the Buddha, the Buddha, I have to choose those sutras and tell you later.
Have you decided which sutra? Have you decided which sutra, Bhante?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't come into my mind all at once, huh?
How do you call it? Absent-minded.
Oh, the Satchaka, Mahasatchaka Sutra, Mahasatchaka is also a good sutra. And
they go one, I think, Madhupinika.
And the Madhupindika is also important sutra. And there are a lot of important sutras in the Majjhima Nikaya, the middle and saying.
152.
Huh?
152 sutras.
Yeah.
The collection.
The Arya Paryesana Sutra. The Arya Paryesana and the Mahasatchaka gives the life of the Buddha. Life of the Buddha in terms of what he did, he is explaining. And some of the things in those two sutras, same thing is repeated, and those are very important things that are necessary, especially to understand the Paticca Samuppada. How the Buddha became a Buddha, That is very important there. What he did. And also the other sutras like Sabbasava Sutra and even the Mahathanha Sankha also gives a lot of things about the Paticca Samuppada.
Perhaps, Pante, you should translate what we are doing in the sutra class, Mahavedala Sutra.
Vedala
Sutra.
Yeah, those then are very important.
We have a proper explanation of the real Abhidhamma according to the words of
Yeah.
The commentaries.
Created
the Abhidhamma.
What the sutra name?
Mahavedala Sutra.
Oh, Vedala. Okay.
And the Chula
Mahavedala and Chula Vedala. Yeah.
Small Vedala. Big one and the little one. Yeah, Chula is small. Okay. Maha is big. So I'm the Chula and
So you have any other question? If not, we'll just
before we close
this.
Tomorrow no session because we couldn't get the room. They got some function going on.